Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast, and this is Susan Puzio. Don't forget our website, propheticnews.com. There's many, many interesting articles there for you to read, so much for you to learn. And our YouTube channel is Susan Puzio, and there's some good videos on there. So avail yourself of those things. And then in a few weeks, I will be releasing my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You to Give Offerings. So, some people say, well, why a book and why don't you just put it up on the internet? Well, that's fine. You can put it up on the internet, but one day we won't have the internet. I think the day will come when they will not allow the preaching of the gospel or discernment ministries or anything that they would deem to be hate speech. I think eventually they will not allow it. And in some countries today, they don't allow free speech, and they don't allow you to criticize people or make commentary because they consider it hate speech. So eventually we won't have the internet, and my programs will be gone, my archives will be gone, but my book will be here. The books that people have written and they have published will be here long after we're gone. So that's why I think books are still important. If they had only put the Bible up on the internet and then the internet's taken down and there's no published Bibles, then we don't have a Bible. So, of course, I don't equate my book with the Bible, but I think that it's important to have books, even in the day and age of the internet. So it's an interesting look into the lives of many of the televangelists, and I think that it'll bless people. I hope that it'll bless people. But anyway, it'll be out in a few weeks, and I'll let you know, just finishing up the editing, because the editing seems to take forever. You really have to have a few people look at your manuscript, because there's errors that you miss, and then even the second and the third person could miss it. So it takes a long time, and it is currently being self-published. So I don't have the luxury of having a publisher and having editors, although there's been some great people that have helped me, and I'm very, very thankful to the people that helped me with my cover and with editing, and so that has been a blessing, let me tell you. But anyway, how about that game last week? Denver sure did put the beat down on Brady, didn't they? Wow, I don't think he knew what was happening. I don't think the whole Patriots team knew what was happening there. And, of course, the Patriots almost pulled it out there in the last, 5 seconds of the game. So it was an exciting game. And we'll look forward to the Super Bowl. I'm picking Denver. So we'll see what happens, right? You just never know, because it's still Peyton Manning, even though he's old. He's not really old. He's what is he, 39 or something like that, and they say he's old, but anyway, we'll see what happens. So that'll be interesting, and it's been an interesting week in the land of tele-evangelism. There's never a dull moment out there with these people. If you ever listen to them, you know, if you can stand it, because it's painful. It's painful to listen to them, but they come out with the weirdest statements, and they stay home all day, and they look up Bible scriptures. They do this. They look up Bible scriptures, and they say, wow, this is a good scripture I can take, and I can twist it, and I can manipulate it so that I can get people to send me some money, because things are a little tough over here, and we need some money to run these fleecing centers that they're running, because they're not churches. If your pastor is a liar and a thief, what are you doing there? If you go there every Sunday and all he does is lie to you, especially in the area of giving, he has no integrity. So you don't want to be there. You want to run for your life, separate yourself. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Come out of them. Come out of them, my people. So we need more people to come out of these false religious institutions of there's no higher learning there. There's no learning there. It's just all geared toward the offering, most of these buildings that you go to on Sunday, and the pastor stands up there and he spends 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever just taking up the offering. And then he's beating you over the head and telling you how cursed you're going to be. I didn't know that anybody could curse what God has blessed. God said that I'm blessed. And he said that he has redeemed me from the curse. So I don't know how come these people think that they can keep smacking curses down upon you. And so we at the Prophetic Voice, Prophetic News here, radio broadcast, we want to see these buildings empty out. Quit supporting these people. Tell your friends to quit supporting these people, because if they don't have any money, they're going to go away, because what else are they going to do for a living? Most of these people are not educated. They don't have any skills. The only skills that they have is conning. They're very good at conning and lying. Maybe they could go to Wall Street or something like that after, but most of these people can't get a real job. And the way to accumulate wealth, according to Scripture, is to work, because the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you don't take care of your own family, then you're worse than an infidel. And you could go to church on Wednesday and go to church on Sunday and smack your money down on the altar or throw it in the collection box and say all your faith confessions, and you're still not going to get any money if you don't work. God's not going to rain any out of the sky. Somebody might be nice to you and might give you some money. That could happen. Yeah, that could happen. You could get a promotion on your job. But you have to work. There's no way around it. You have to work. You have to live within your means. And you have to pay your bills. You have to be a person of integrity. You can't just run around borrowing all the time and never paying your bills. And then you go to church on Sunday and, you know, Noel Jones or Mike Murdoch or Rod Parsley or Paula White or one of these preachers will tell you, well, we have the answer to all your problems. And the answer to all your problems is to give us some money, because we love money. I saw Mike Murdoch the other day. Parsley had him over there at his gambling casino over there in Columbus. You know, you lay the money down on the roulette table and you spin the wheel. you know, your $1,000 or your $7,000 or whatever it is, and their God, you know, the lights go up, start blinking, and the music starts playing, and their God, he rains money down from the sky. So he had Mike Murdoch over there. You could go and look at the video because you'll be shocked at his appearance. He looks like Mike Murdoch is in bad shape. I mean, he's in bad shape. He's only in his 60s, but he looked about 80. He really looked like he was drunk this day. It's if you go to the iHarv TV website, it's on demand. This, and I think it was in November sometime, but you'll see Mike Murdoch's picture there. And anyway, Mike Murdoch says, well, you know, I had $1 million. I had $1 million. The Lord bless me with $1 million. And I had it in all cash. And I had a room full of money. And I was going to use that money to buy a house. And I was going to pay cash for that house. I like to pay cash for houses. And you know how God gave me that money? Let me tell you now. Let me tell you how God gave me that money, he says. He says, he wrote some kind of these Bibles, like the woman's Bible or the men's Bible or the teen Bible or whatever he did. And Walmart bought his product. And so he said, now I have a lifetime income. And the reason I have a lifetime income is because I gave an $8,500 seed. And after I sowed that $8,500 seed, that's when God gave me a lifetime income. And so if you would like a lifetime income, come on, run up here. I know God told me there's 12 people. Now, the number 12 is very important to God. You remember that the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, and he goes on and on. And then he says, okay, now run up here. I'm not going to stand up here all day, he said. No, he wasn't going to stand there. No, of course he was going to stand there until the 12 people came up. So I turned it off after 9 people jumped up there now imagine, $8,500 he was asking for. Remember when it used to be $58? Mike Murdoch had the $58 blessing. So, no, it's not $58 anymore. It's $8,500. Wow. So, anyway, there was 9 dopes up there. And when you think about it, okay, that was about $100,000. And that was just for the $8,500 offering that he was asking. Of course, you know he was going to go down. He probably went down to $850, and then he probably went down to $85. I wonder if he went down to 85 cents. Now, that would be very interesting, right? So what a con artist. And the thing is, over there at Rod Parsley's church, they do this every week to people, and they even and sometimes they do it in the midweek service. So they have a Wednesday night service and they have a Sunday morning service, and all they do is fleece people. It's constant. They never give up. He's always bringing in some kind of a guest speaker, a guest fleecer. And you know, Rod's real close to these people because he's a con artist himself. If anybody's listening and they live in the Columbus, Ohio area, I'm very curious as to why Miss Joni there, Miss Joni Parsley, she's not showing up for church. She hasn't been to church in probably over 6 weeks. She's not sitting next to her husband. She's not appearing on the platform. She's just seemed to disappear. She's just disappeared from the scene. So if anybody knows what has become of Miss Joni Parsley there, could you let me know? You can email me at susan@propheticnews.com, and you can remain anonymous if you so choose. But I'm very curious as to what's happened to Miss Joni. I don't know. Could she? Maybe she just can't stand Rod anymore. I don't know. But there seems to be something going on there. So as I was listening to Rod Parsley last Sunday, I think. Now, Rod Parsley, he comes out with some whoppers, I have to tell you. And I think, of course, for some of you that don't know, recently Rod Parsley came down with throat cancer, and he was actually out of his pulpit. He couldn't preach it was probably about 6 months. He had to be quiet. He couldn't talk. And he had 28 radiation treatments. And now he claims that he's healed of throat cancer. And he has a 7 times greater anointing on his life. Well, Rod, I want to break the news to you, Rod. You don't have any anointing. The only anointing you have, it comes from down below, from the pit. That's where your so-called anointing comes from, because nobody that's anointed of the Holy Spirit is a con artist. Most people earn an honest living, and we don't spend our time day after day and week after week trying to think of ways to con people. But I'm going to play this clip now. I hope the sound is good. It's not as good as usual, but I hope that you can hear this now, because Rod's getting up there and he's telling people why they need to tithe. And he's telling people what he wants them to do to help pay their tithe. So here you go. It's about 3 minutes.
Well, we got, our cable bill, our cell phone. You ever notice how many abjectly poor people carry around a cell phone? If you have a cell phone, don't be telling me how poor you are. Don't tell me that. Well, you have to understand that's a necessity. No, it's not. It's not a necessity. Time is a necessity. That's not a necessity. That's not a necessity. Who do I feel the anointing? Cable, DirecTV, pay-per-view fights at $120 a showing. Your time.
Yeah.
See, don't be saying I don't have it. Just be saying I'm wasting it.
Yeah.
Quit eating at McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King. Beef that's had so many hormones shot in it, you don't know if you're a chicken, a duck, a male, or a female. Of antibiotics to petrify a grown man.
Okay, someone in the chat room said it was a little garbled. Anyway, in this clip here from last Sunday, Rod's telling the people there that they need to pay their tithes, and If they have to turn their heat down. Now, it's cold over there in Columbus, Ohio. Okay? It's cold there now this time of year. They're right in the dead of winter, and it's the north. And he's telling them that they should turn their heat down 5 degrees and put on a sweatshirt. Now, I wonder if Rod and Joni and Ashton, and Austin do that at their house. I wonder if they turn their heat down. You know, Rod lives in a $1 million house. So I wonder if Rod turns his heat down. I wonder if he gives up his cable TV. He's telling them to give up their cable, give up their direct TV, and they need to pay their tithes. Oh, dear. Now, can you actually believe that anybody actually still goes to this church? Unbelievable. Now, there's another clip here now. At Rod's church, he has an elder there, and his elder is Elder Canfield. Oh, it doesn't look like I put the clip up here, but I'll tell you about it anyway because I don't have it in my clips. But last week, this Elder Canfield is like Rod's yes man. They don't call him by his first name. I don't even know what his first name is, this guy, but they call him Elder Canfield. That's his last name. So Rod jumps up to the platform, and Elder Canfield is standing there with the microphone, and Rod's hugging him and telling him how much he appreciates him. I think this guy has been around there forever, okay? And Rod says to his mother, "Mother, I finally got Elder Canfield his own parking space, and I'm even putting his name on the space." Yeah, wow. He's important now. It took all this time for you to give him a parking space with his name on it? How many years has this guy been there? This guy is like his sidekick. He's always there. He's always begging for money. He takes up the offerings, and he's Rod's yes man. He yeses. Anything Rod says, he yeses. So then he says, well, we have, I guess it's a dormitory or something they have there because they have a Bible college. So the dormitory is named Canfield Hall after Elder Canfield. And then Rod says, well, I've been wanting to put a plaque up on the building, but we don't have the money, he says. He says, going to cost $1,000 to put a plaque up there, Canfield Hall. And I don't know, I guess, you know, there's other things, and that $1,000 gets lost. Now, he's crazy about this guy, right? This is like his best bud over there at World Harvest, and he doesn't have $1,000 to put up the plaque on his dormitory with his name on it. And then he says, oh, I wish somebody would pay for it. You know, I mean, if I was Elder Canfield, I would have been scratching my head and saying, wow, oh, this guy doesn't love me very much. Wow, he's even insulting me here. And he's saying he doesn't have $1,000. When he was just bragging that he took in $1 million or $2 million or $3 million these past few months, and he doesn't have $1,000 to put a plaque up on the building. Oh, that's pretty bad. Elder Canfield, I have some news for you, Elder. Rod doesn't really like you. No, Rod doesn't really like you. You know. He doesn't really like you. That should be a hint that he's not really crazy about you. We'll see what happens in the coming days there at Rod Parsley's church. I noticed that they didn't. Usually they archive all their church services, and I noticed that this particular clip from last Sunday is not up there. They have the one from Wednesday up there, but the one from Sunday's not up there. Maybe he's not going to post it because of all the ridiculous things he was saying. He was probably afraid somebody would get a hold of the audio and be able to play it for people. So my speaker wasn't working that great that day, and I was using a different speaker, so I wasn't able to capture the audio the way I usually get it. But anyway, that was quite remarkable. So, but there's still a lot of people going there. They go there, and he works them up into a frenzy, and you know, just with the flick of his hand, he loves all that, Rod. He loves all that power. He thinks he's got power, but one day, there's going to come a day for Rod Parsley when God's going to call his number there. And if he doesn't get his life right with God now, it may be too late, because this man, to me, he doesn't act like a saved person. I don't think he's really born again. Born again people act with integrity. They respect their brothers and sisters in the Lord. We don't use each other. We try to be kind to each other and merciful. But I have no mercy for these con artists. I don't like what they're doing to people. I don't approve of it. And most importantly, God doesn't approve of it. So that's the most important thing. There was another person that I got. Amen. It is pride. Yes, it's pride. Yes. There was another person that I was watching. Actually, I turned the TV on this morning. And I have been aware of this lady for a while, this lady Dana Muldoon. And she is the daughter of Gene Profeta. And Gene Profeta is a pastor. I don't know if he's still pastoring. Anyway, he did have a church in Massapequa, New York. And remember Jessica Hahn, the lady that got caught with Jim Baker? She was the one that met Jim Baker in a hotel room back in the 1980s, and they had a brief fling, and then they had to pay her hush money. She was asking for hush money after that. She was a little church secretary there at Gene Profeta's church. And supposedly Jim Baker was set up by Gene Profeta and John Wesley Fletcher. I don't know if you people remember him, because he goes way back. But back in the 1980s, there was a preacher named John Wesley Fletcher, and he used to hang out with Jim Baker quite a bit. But he later died of AIDS. He was really nasty. And anyway, John Wesley Fletcher was the one supposedly that set Jim Baker up with Jessica, and that eventually brought down that whole PTL ministry there. Anyway, this Dana Muldoon is now, she has her own, what she calls a ministry. It's not really a ministry. She's heavily into witchcraft, this girl. And so she has a TV program on, which I saw this morning on the Impact Network. Now, that's a crazy network, if there ever was one. But she was on there this morning, and she was, she loves to talk about Jesus, and she loves to quote scripture, and she's singing, and she's laying hands on people, and it looked like she had a tent. She probably has her own tent, because I can't imagine she gets any invitations from, I know that Randy White invites her to his place. There might be a few so-called churches that invite this woman, but she doesn't really get invited to churches, so she has her own tent that she sets up, or she meets in hotel rooms. So anyway, this morning she's talking about that she has these stones that she'll send you. And I don't know if you've ever seen these. If you go to a craft store, you see these little stones They're probably about an inch by an inch, and they probably cost 5 cents each or something like that. So anyway, she says that she's going to send you a stone. If you write in, and she says that there's 300 people that are supposed to write in, and then she rubs these stones. In one of the videos, she said that she rubs them, and then after she rubs them, she'll send you one. And she says, and you can be just like little David. So you can take this stone, and you can defeat the giant in your life. So here's Dana.
Story that I'd always read in the Bible as a child and always heard in church, little David and a giant by the name of Goliath. But I never really knew the importance of how such a little simple act of faith could really bring such faith alive within me as I grew in the Lord. I began to tell people that you can slay your giant. God just began to give me a prophetic word about commanding and bringing forth the anointing of the Holy Spirit into everything that we put our hand to do, and every giant must go in Jesus' name. And as I began to teach on this and preach on this, I said, somebody here, there's someone in this audience, and you have with you a tremendous amount of stones. Who is it? Somebody has rocks in their car or stones. I don't know what this is, but whoever it is, bring him to me. A woman had just gone that day, and she was going to plant her entire backyard with all of these little tiny blue stones. She said, I just love the color blue, and I went outside and I bought them all. I was going to decorate my yard with them. Well, I said, bring them to me because the Lord has needed these in this service. And we started to hand them out in this service. And I said, let this represent in your life that little stone that David had in his hand when he slayed that giant Goliath. And as people started to receive them, we began to pray and we began to touch and agree. And we said, Lord, let our faith come alive just like you brought it forth in little David, so that we too can slay our giants. And from that one meeting, lives have been completely transformed and changed. I have been sending these to thousands of people. People have been coming to my meetings testifying. People who have brought them with them to the doctor. People who were terribly sick. I had one woman who had been sick for years with thyroid conditions. And she had been to every doctor, every kind of medication. Today she's completely healed and set free. I had another gentleman filled with cancer. He took the stone of David with him to the hospital. And when they opened him up, 9 cancerous tumors had shriveled up and died. God gave him a creative miracle on an operating table. They were going to take out his left kidney, portion of his liver, and part of his intestinal tract. But do you know that God showed up on time and he slayed that giant of cancer? I want those of you at home today, if you're facing cancer, you're facing a physical distress, a financial distress, spiritually, whatever the need is today, I know that God will give you the faith as he did little David. And you can use this as your point of contact to remind you that God has given you the victory over your giant. Now, I love you in the Lord, and I know God has great, mighty things for you. In fact, there are at least 300 people today. God has a miracle for you right where you are, and I'm speaking to those of you today, those 300. I want to send you something along with this anointed stone of David to remind you of the miracle working power of the Lord in your life, and bring a confirmation to you as well. Not just information, but confirmation to something you've been praying about and asking God to do in your life.
You know, I mean you can't make this up. Where do these people come from? Now, could you imagine raising a child like this? Now, my mother and my father, they're not preachers. They're just normal people. They're blue-collar people. But I guarantee you, if I behaved like that, if my mother saw me on television or she heard me on the radio telling people there's 300 people out there and I've got a stone that I bought at Joann's or Michael's for 5 cents, and I'm going to rub these stones, and I'm going to send you this stone, and people got healed of cancer when they had these stones, and the man's intestinal tract got healed when they got the stone from me. I guarantee you that if my mother heard me talking like that, she would rebuke me loudly. She would be ashamed that she had such a daughter. I want to know, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these parents? This Gene Profeta, I don't know if he's his wife is alive or what, or if Dana has any brothers and sisters. What's wrong with you people over there that you allow your daughter and your sister to behave in such a manner and to say it's Jesus? What's wrong with these people? They have no morals. They have no integrity. They have no honor. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be them. You couldn't give me all the money in the world to be them. Jesus said in Luke 11:42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus wasn't impressed with their tithing, which was, of course, as you could see, it was herbs, it wasn't money. And he wasn't impressed with that. You think Jesus is impressed with people throwing money down at a preacher's feet? He's not. And then to say that it's God, because God doesn't need money, he has no use for money. It's not an act of worship to give God money because he doesn't need any money. It's when we give money, we give it to other people. And we do it because we love them, because we love God, and we want to bless people. That's why we give money. We don't give it to earn favor with God and to get God to give us favors. There's no Bible for that. If anybody could show me one scripture in the New Testament where Jesus ever accepted money from someone for him to do something for them, or any of the apostles ever accepted money to do anything for anybody, there's no precedent in the New Testament at all about that. So if you're going to a church or you're listening to some TV preacher and you're sending your hard-earned money to these wolves, stop doing it. Tell your friends to stop doing it, because they will go away if they have no more money. They will go away. You won't see them anymore. You just won't see them, because some of them are just going to have to go back to selling used cars, because most of them, they act like used car salesmen. They don't read the Bible. They don't even know the Bible. They just take a scripture here and a scripture there, and then they totally twist it. I'm going to play a couple clips from this. There's a new kid on the block. Some of you might have seen this guy, Coy Barker. He looks, he's an older gentleman. He probably is in his 70s. And anyway, now he's all over the place because he's the latest one peddling the sow a seed and God will meet your need thing. But he looks like he might be, to me, he looks like he probably was a Church of God person at one time. I don't know too much about him, because I've just been seeing him lately. But he was taking a scripture, and I thought it was really funny because I looked it up. He was taking a scripture. Let's see. I think it was out of Ezekiel. And he was saying that, you know, he's trying to tell people that they have to sow so that they can get God to do things for them. And it had to be money. They had to give money in order to get God to do things for them. But if you go back, and I'm trying to find it, but if you go back and you read Ezekiel 12, which is the scripture he quotes, there was a paragraph in there or a sentence in there where it actually said that it said the opposite about giving the seed. As soon as I find it, I'll read it to you. But there was also one thing in here, Ezekiel 12:24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. And that's basically what it is when you hear these people talking the way they talk, it's a vain vision and it's a flattering divination, because it is divination. It is witchcraft. And I'm hoping that in the next few weeks I can bring somebody on that actually knows more about this, perhaps somebody that was involved with hypnosis and with the power of suggestion. Because you'll notice, and as I was gathering these clips this morning, I noticed that this Coy Barker, he did a lot of finger snapping, which, if any of you, I don't really look at hypnosis. I don't look at these people. I try not to look at those things. But I know just from doing research that they do a lot of finger snapping when they're bringing people in and out of hypnotic trances. So you'll notice that a lot of these people snap their fingers, and when Coy was with Rod Parsley, he snapped his fingers 5 or 6 times as he was talking. And then when he was with Benny Hinn, he did the same thing. Benny Hinn was snapping his fingers, and I don't snap my fingers when I talk. I don't, for what? I don't know. What reason is there to snap your fingers? It's just not normal. Unless you're doing it on purpose. And so I'm hoping that in the next few weeks I can bring somebody on that's actually have experienced with people that have done hypnosis and use these particular techniques, because I believe that they do use these techniques on people. And it is the power of suggestion. And people are desperate. They're desperate to pay their bills. They're desperate to pay their mortgage. And so that's why these people do what they do. They prey on people's needs. They prey on people's tragedies. And it's very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. This new guy, Coy Barker, and he actually has a website where he says that he's a minister to ministers, where he's ministering integrity. Well, this is not integrity, because integrity is telling people the truth. Integrity is not trying to pick somebody's pocket to have a ministry. That is not integrity. Integrity in the ministry is when you live by faith. And you don't have to ask anybody for anything. You don't have to do a telethon, and you don't have to beg, and you don't have to send out an appeal letter. You don't have to do any of that. You don't do any of that. You seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. You preach the gospel, and God, as God sees fit, he adds to your life. If he doesn't see fit, he doesn't add to your life. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He's not going to give you things to consume it upon your lust. He's not going to do it. He's just not going to do it. So that's what I believe. I believe that if you're in the ministry, you do it by faith. You don't have to beg and promise people the world that if you send money to this anointed ministry, this fertile soil of the of the ministry, because I'm no great thing. Look, I'm no great thing. I'm a bunch of flesh going somewhere to happen. And neither are you any great thing. None of us are. There's only one perfect person that ever walked the earth, and his name is Jesus. Now, he was perfect. The rest of us, no, we're not perfect. I'm just a mouthpiece, and so is everybody else that has a Bible that God wrote and that God lets us use. He lets us crack it open. He lets us quote scripture, but that doesn't make us anything special. We're not. And so we're just trying to help people along the way, trying to tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to tell people how Jesus changed our life. Remember when we went from being the prodigal son, rolling in the slop, and God gave us a brand new life, and he cleaned us up, and he embraced us, and he took us into his kingdom of his dear son. And we can't forget what he did for us. None of us can forget that day that Jesus Christ changed our life forever. We will never forget it. And we will be forever grateful. So I don't understand, in my way of thinking, and my brothers and sisters in the Lord, in their way of thinking, I don't understand how you could have a born-again experience and then take the gospel that's precious to us and sell it and pimp it. I don't understand that. It doesn't compute to me. So it shouldn't compute to anybody else that claims the name of Jesus Christ and is a born-again Christian. We should be able to come out of that. And I was caught up in the Word of Faith movement for many years, and I have to thank God that he rescued me from that, from those false teachers and from those wolves. And that's what we want to do, is we want to rescue people from the clutches of these wolves. Now, I was listening, and it's very, very difficult to listen to Paula White. Very difficult. This is a woman, and I do not understand it for the life of me how this woman has ever come to any kind of national prominence, because if you ever try to listen to one of her sermons, none of her sermons ever make any sense. She talks in circles, so you never really know what she's saying. And for instance, when she was preaching this sermon the last few weeks on first fruits, and she says that January is the biggest month in her ministry because she does this first fruits thing every January. And she asked people to send her 1 month of their salary, or 1 week of their salary, or 1 day of their salary. Now, she's telling them that it's going to God. And yet, Paula is not saying to make out the check to God and send it to heaven. She doesn't say that. She says, make the check out to Paula White Ministries. So it's not going to God, Paula. Paula, it's not going to God, Paula. It's going into your bank account. That's where it's going. And so I didn't know that God comes down from heaven and he sees money in a bucket and that he takes it. And then he brings it back up to heaven. I didn't know God did that. That's very odd. But anyway, so she tells them that they have to give this money because if they don't give their first, she actually said this. I heard her, and she told people that, remember Ananias and Sapphira, what happened to them? They were struck down dead, and the reason they were struck down dead is because they didn't give their first fruits. So she tells you that if you don't give your first fruits, look out, that something bad could happen to you. And I didn't hear her tell people, and she's telling the people there, and most of the people in her church are poor people. These are not rich people. If you look as they span the audience, sometimes you'll see most of them look like normal, everyday working people. Some look like poor people. Some look like they might have better jobs than others. Usually you can tell by the way people are dressed. So, no, she doesn't tell these people that make sure you go to work every day. Make sure you live within your means. Don't borrow on your credit cards more than you can pay. No, she doesn't tell them that. No, she tells them that you have to tithe and you have to bring first fruits, because if you don't bring first fruits at the beginning of the year, you're going to be cursed for the rest of the year, she tells them. So, and these people are sitting there and they're buying it. And that when they take up the offering, you see that people are actually going up and they're actually giving her money. They're giving her either a month. Now, can you imagine working a whole month for Paula White? That you're actually going to work. And if anybody, I would love to hear from somebody from New Destiny Church there in Apopka. If anybody has left the church or is still going there and would like to call into this program sometime or email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. So imagine working a whole month and giving and a whole month and giving your money to Paula White, or working a whole week and giving your money to Paula White, who refers to herself as God. In other words, Paula's God. So now you're going to hear something here on this audio, and Paula, she's a Bible illiterate. She doesn't know the Bible at all. No, all she knows is that she can pick a few scriptures here and there, and then she makes up fairy tales. So, and it's all geared around the offering. All her sermons at her church are all geared around the offering. That's all it's geared around. And this whole month of January, she has spent the whole month preaching on first fruits and putting fear into the people there at New Destiny that if they don't give their first fruits, they're going to be cursed in every area of their life. And she actually, and I'm going to play this clip. It's about 5 minutes long. And she actually says that she's talking about a principle there in the Old Testament where God said your barns would be filled with plenty. Yeah, barns, okay. And what goes in a barn? Money? I don't think, who puts their money in a barn? Because most people don't put money in barns because they don't want the rats to eat their money. So what do you put in a barn? You usually put, your harvest might go in a barn. But no, what does Paula say? She says that the word barn in the New Testament means bank. Wow. Yeah, the word barn means bank. Now, you're going to hear her say this. I'm going to play this clip. You're going to find it hard to believe. You're going to find it hard. I couldn't believe it myself when I heard this come out of her mouth, but this is how manipulative she is.
Somebody better start ripping their clothes off when you go into prayer, okay? I'm just telling you right now, we're going to get you a lot of lap cloths. But anyway, he rips his clothes off, he goes into prayer, and God's just like up there twiddling his thumbs and says, get up. He says, I'm not going to do anything. And so Joshua's like, well, come on, God. And he's all these people are dying. He says, do something, God, do something. And God's face is like, get up. He said, because I'm not even answering your prayer. Go back. He said, there's sin in the camp. What do you mean there's sin in the camp? And he says, so go, and he gives them instructions to pull everybody out and pull all their stuff. Well, there was this guy by the name of Achan. That should tell you something right now. Anyone whose name's Achan, I'm doing a double background check on you. There's this guy by the name of Achan, and Achan had touched what the Bible calls, it says in your King James, an accursed thing. But the word accursed means devoted things. Now, I've already taught you on devotion, so what's a devoted thing? A devoted thing is a holy thing because it's a first fruits thing. So when he touched, basically, let's bring it down, something that was devoted, which means holy, which in this instance means first fruit because it was the first city. Because God always gave them the spoils, right?
I mean, they would go in and they would win victory and they'd divide up the spoils. And they'd divide it between all the people, and God always gave them the spoils. But in this city, they could not touch the spoils. Why? Because it belonged to the Lord, 100% of it. So when Achan took of the accursed thing, touched that which was a first fruit, and brought it in his tent, then all of a sudden, all of Israel started getting affected. Do you know the person you're sitting next to that's just like, oh, here I go? They affect your life. Do you know that this is Bible, this is pattern. This is pattern. When we all come together in unity and one, there is a commanded blessing that comes upon us. When we all don't touch, see, that's the problem. There's always one in every group that just thinks, man, I can get by with it. And so when he touches this and takes it, then Joshua says, line them all up. And he takes Achan, and guess what they have to do? This is serious. They literally stone him and his wife and his kids and everything else because he would bring sin into all of Israel. And if he did not deal with the sin, if he did not deal with that situation, now thank God for grace. I mean, thank God I just get to run to the altar, amen? Thank God you get to run to the altar. Nobody's taking you out and stoning you. No one's burning you. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for some grace, amen? That we just get to come and repent and thank you for the blood. But God's real serious. If you be willing and obedient, you eat of the good of the land. If not, you're devoured by the sword. It's real plain and simple. God lays out before us choices, but those choices always have consequences, right? And so he says to us here throughout his word that anytime something is a first fruit, it has to do with covenant. So when we bring God something that of our increase, something new that's established in our life, we must acknowledge God as the source of that increase and say, God, I give back to you the whole of the first. So the first or the whole of it is dedicated and devoted to God. The first fruit is not the tithe. Tithe means tenth. That's what the word means. And so your tithe includes a first fruit because your tithe is the first tenth of your income, not just any tenth. But the first fruit is not just a tithe. Are you with me on this? Because tithe is mentioned 14 times. First fruit is mentioned 32 times in King James Version. Now here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor, somebody shout honor, the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. Let's read the Message version so it brings it a little more home. It says, honor God with everything you own. Say it loud with me. Honor God with a few things, guys. Okay, so honor God with my family. Honor God with my career. Honor God with my ministry. Honor God with my body. Honor God with my mind. Everything I own, my house, my car, anything. Honor God with a few things. Everything you own. Give him what? Give him what? The first and the... Okay, so the first and the best goes to who? To God. And then verse 10. Your barns, which is bank accounts in modern day terminology, your barns, because they were farmers, will do what? Burst, and your wine vats will brim over. Now let's keep going because I usually stop right there. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Uh-oh, tells me something. See, you have to really read the word. By the way, happy birthday, Em. It was Em's birthday yesterday. We'll honor her at the end. So watch what this is saying. Don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. Oh, there's a hidden message in that message. Because God chastises those whom he loves. If not, the Bible says you are a bastard. A bastard means you're illegitimate. It means that you don't have a father. So if you're called a bastard child, it means that you have a mother, but you don't have a father, correct? And so I know that I have a daddy, and daddies watch over me. Fathers govern our God. I have a heavenly father. I'm not a bastard child, and thank God.
You're not? Now, believe it or not, people, she said that the word barns from the Old Testament actually means bank account in modern terminology. That means, you know what Paul is thinking? She's thinking, I sure love that big fat bank account that y'all are giving me. with these first fruits offerings. And then she says, yeah, well, she pounds it into these people there week after week that they have to tithe 10% of their income to her, to God. And then, but that's not first fruits. She also wants a first fruit offering every year on top of the tithe. And then at the end of every service there at her leasing center, she also takes up another offering. So it never stops over there. You think that by now this place would be emptied out, because the people should have realized, especially the people that have been in there for a year or 2 years, they should have realized that nothing has changed in their life. They're still broke. They still can't pay their bills, and they're still giving Paula probably 30 or 40% of their money with all these offerings that she's taking over there. And even she can't pay her bills, because she admitted a few weeks ago that she couldn't pay her staff, that they didn't have money, and that she had to put she did a feeding program for the poor, and she had to put it on her credit card. So, you know, Paula, how many years have you been teaching on tithing and first fruits, and you can't even pay your own bills? Do you think that the people over there would figure it out that you're a liar? Do you think they would have figured it out yet? I noticed, too, on that clip that she says that the word accursed. Now, this sounds like a bit of satanic doublespeak. Like, only a child of the devil would say this, that the word accursed means holy. The word accursed? A little play on words there. Honestly, this woman is unbelievable. She's unbelievable. And I have one more clip here from Paula. This one's funny too. This next clip I'm going to play, and this one's about 3 minutes. So
the way I teach the word. So Father, help me always communicate this word with your anointing. So if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm the master, where's the respect? I'm calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, not so. How do we despise you? By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. Uh-oh. See, now y'all think that's this. But remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the word seek mean? What's the word seek mean? Why did y'all all of a sudden get amnesia? Everybody's like, I don't know what seek means now that you put it in context of a tough scripture. What does seek mean, Dilma? Worship, right? Seek first, all right? So worship first. Y'all knew I was going to tie all this together. It proves my faith, because I don't understand how by giving you, God, an entire day or an entire week or an entire month of salary, or because that's up to you by faith, okay, what you're going to give, but it's got to be the entire of it. I don't understand how by putting this in order and making sure that my husband makes the final decision, or I don't understand how I don't get it all. You're not supposed to get it all, but I do it in obedience because I want to eat of the good of the land, and I'm proving, even though I can't see it, because some of you think you're smarter and better than your husband, so you try to run things. Come on, but you've got disorder there. And some of you just want to hold on to things because you're concerned about your mortgage. You're concerned about this. You're concerned about that. Well, what will God do? Or you want to hold on to whatever. But he's saying, look, God, I trust you because I have a lifestyle. That lifestyle is I live by faith. So as the just, you have to make another decision. This is all about responsibility on you this year. As the just, you make a decision. I'm either living by faith or I'm living by flesh. And if you weren't here on Thursday, you better go back and get that, because I worked that message long and I worked that message strong. Because if you're double-minded, you're tossed to and fro, means you're vacillating and you're two-spirited, and that man not ought to think he should get anything from God. So that means if I'm vacillating all the time and I'm unstable in where I'm landing in God and what I believe in God and what I do with God and how I honor God's word, then I shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. But if I'm stable in God's word, I should expect to receive everything in God. Good teaching this morning. I'm going to keep breaking it down. I'll preach to you later, but I'm going to keep on breaking this down. So it proves faith, then it brings honor to God. Honor is to promote or to give glory, to make glorious. It means to give proper respect. Psalm chapter 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. So God says, look, when God is in a place, like the doctor said on that video, right? When God's in this place, you're going to feel his presence. There's going to be manifestation. People are going to be healed. People are going to be saved. People's lives are going to be transformed. They're going to get the mind of Christ. They're going to connect to God. So we already know that where God is in the house, that's the habitation, then honor dwelleth. We've reverenced, we've respected, we've done it God's way. But can I show you what happens when especially pastors and then people, because it starts at the head, it starts at the head. Judgment starts in the house of God, guys. It doesn't start out in the world. It starts in the house of God. And it starts with the headship. The hardest judge is the headship. And they might think they can get away with it for a little bit, but there is, whether it catches up to you in 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years, there is a time that you will see the results of whatever your choices have been. It's inevitable.
Well, we know that. I think that right there, Paula was prophesying to herself about judgment. Now, can you actually believe that she said, she's so proud of herself, too, because she says, okay, everybody, what does the word seek mean? Now, this is, Paula has her own dictionary, you know. She wrote her own dictionary, Paula. This is what she said the word seek means. She said that the word seek means worship. Yeah. Seek means worship. Yeah. But you notice the crafty use of words that she has, because she says one thing and she means another, and that's called satanic doublespeak, is when people say one thing and then they're saying another thing, because she tells the people that seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, we know that. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So how do we get things from God? How do we get God to do things for us? Of course, we don't get him to do anything for us. We ask him. He's not going to do it just because we're giving money or even because we're asking. That doesn't mean he's going to do it, because he's God. And he knows the end from the beginning, so he knows whether or not we need those things. I know for myself that there has been many, many times that I have asked God for things that I thought I needed and that I had to have, and he didn't let me have it. And I can honestly say now, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't let me have that, because he had another plan for me. He is much more intelligent than I will ever be and has much more wisdom than I will ever have. So Paula says, okay, yeah, seek first the kingdom of God, and yeah, we live by faith. Well, what does it mean to live by faith? Paula White's definition of living by faith is give me your first fruits, your 1 month salary or your first week salary or 1 day salary, and also on top of that, give me 10% of your income. That's the Paula White definition of living by faith. But of course, we know living by faith is getting up every day. Some of us go to work to earn our living. Most of us work in some capacity to earn our living. And we live by faith because we believe God to meet our needs and to provide our daily bread and to provide a roof over our head, thank you, Jesus, and a car to drive, thank you, Jesus, and all the things that he's blessed us with. We live by faith. We don't live by begging and cursing people if they don't give us money. Can you imagine the arrogance of a person to stand up in a pulpit and hold a Bible and tell people that they're cursed and somehow their life is going to be ruined if they don't give me some money? Imagine if I use this platform that I have to tell people, look, if you don't send me some money, You're going to be cursed. As a matter of fact, your whole year is going to be ruined if you don't give me an offering. What arrogance. Where do these people come from? Despicable, honestly. Just despicable. I'm going to play this last clip here because I promised to play a clip here from Rod Parsley and this man, the new kid on the block here, Coy Barker. And if you see this man on TV, because he's all over the place now, everybody's getting him to come on because he's the newest fleecer, the newest con artist. So he's been around for a while, this guy. He's one of these slick, old-timey preachers. He's a master manipulator. You'll notice also, as you heard in that last clip I played of Paula White, she snapped her fingers a few times. And also this Coy Barker is very good at it too. But anyway, here's a clip of Coy and Rod Parsley.
God said he heard you in your private time.
Yes.
Asked him for a miracle. And he is going to reward you openly.
Openly.
Even some people that have rejected you, shunned you, said nasty thing against you, he's going to have to come and say to you, God's hand is upon your life. The thing I've learned with God, God's heart's moved by my need.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, the only thing that moves his hand,
yes,
is when I sow a seed.
Thank you, Lord.
Into the kingdom of God.
It's true.
I love for God's heart to be moved, but can I tell you, precious believers, I want to see his hands,
yes,
begin to move.
Yes.
I want to see God begin to do what I can't do.
Do
I want God to accelerate
it.
I have seen, I have lived this unrestricted. I am amazed at how God has removed the bondage,
yes, yes,
taken away the restrictions,
yes, yes,
moved me into unlimited.
Yes.
That's where God's wanting to take you. When you sow into this kind of anointing, when you sow into Rod Parsley, you sow into this breakthrough, you sow into this ministry. Let me tell you something. I don't have the vocabulary to tell you. I have sown into this ministry. I have given money to this ministry.
Yes.
Something supernatural happens.
Yes,
God begins to break open.
Yes.
The power of God begins to manifest.
Yes.
I've seen God bring restoration. Mm. I don't owe nobody a penny except to love them.
Thank you, God.
Totally debt free.
Thank you,
I'm asking you, I urge you, if God's speaking to you, run to the phone. Go to rodparsley.com and say, this is my moment. Ask them to send you the book. They'll send it to you. It'll be a blessing to you. It's our gift into your life to help you to have what God said. I love you, and I'm thankful to be connected with this man of God.
We agree.
So glad.
Dr. Coy Barker and I agree for you today under a 7 times greater anointing. Now, that $1,000 put some of you back on your heels a little bit. But that's all right. Faith moves the hand of God. He's a faith God. And I'm telling you right now that as you obey God, his miracle is released by what he does when you just obey.
Yes.
Don't think about it. It's not about reason.
That's right.
When a word from God is given, reason is never required. Faith has to go and open that door. You say, Pastor Rod, I absolutely can't sow the $1,000. We're going to send you the book Unrestricted, as you sow a tithe or your love gift of any size. My foreword is in it.
Yep.
You can't get it anywhere else.
No.
I want to put it in your hand. When we tell you together what unrestricted means in the kingdom of God, you're going to step into a new dimension in your life. A time of the divine favor of God, where he's going to paint you like a target,
yes,
with a,
yes,
fragrance,
yes,
that attracts the favor of God.
You,
your enemies are about to become at peace with you,
yes,
because of the favor of God released upon you. Dial that number on your screen right now. Go to rodparsley.com. Do not let this season of opportunity that's passing you by right now, you know, that blind...
I'd hate to beat these two guys on Judgment Day. Now, you know, notice Rod Parsley, Slick Rod over there. He says, don't think about it, he says. In other words, leave your brain at the door when you come over here and listen to me. Don't reason. Don't think about it. Don't reason it out. Just jump up out of your chair and run to the phone as God's speaking. Now, I'm telling you, I never in my life, never. Now, I've been a Christian since 1981. I have never in my life had God tell me, Susan, jump up and run to the phone and give Rod Parsley $1,000. Never. I mean, it's never happened to me. Never. No, God never said that to me. And I doubt seriously that he ever said it to anybody, that you should jump up out of your chair and run to your phone and send some crazy preacher $1,000. No, no, God doesn't do it. And notice Mr. Coy Barker, Mr. Compassion there. Notice he's actually pretending to cry as he's talking. I want you to be debt-free, too. I don't have any debts. I guess not. I guess you don't have any debts if you get people to send you $1,000. You get 10 people or five people a week sending you $1,000. That's pretty good. I guess you don't have any debts. Who? Please. He says, you know, you move God's heart. I love to touch God's heart. But you know what? I want to see his hand move. And he tells you that the only way you can get God's hand to move, wow, this is some kind of a strange God. Now, can you imagine God sitting up there on his throne in heaven, the God of the universe, the creator, the master supreme being? Now, can you imagine God sitting on his throne? And when you go to your phone and you send Rod Parsley $1,000, all of a sudden his hand moves. That's what they were telling you. All of a sudden God's hand starts to move. What does God's hand do in that situation? Like a normal, that's why they tell you not to think, because a normal rational person is going to think, okay, so what does God do then? How does his hand move? Actually, how does it start moving? You can't make this up. But Mr. Coy in, I think I should play this last clip. Let me play this last clip so you can hear this for yourself.
Ezekiel 12:26, and he said, delay has ended. Jesus, now I want you to hear the voice of God. That's not me speaking as a voice of God, as a prophet of God into your life.
Yes.
God said, delay has ended, Jesus. And he took me to Psalm 89:34, and he said, and I will never change my covenant. I have made covenant, I have sealed the covenant, and I'm going to show my power. And I can tell you right now that there is a move of the Holy Spirit coming into your household, coming into your family, moving in the supernatural to change everything about your life. Some of you right now will not even recognize your own life 60 days from now.
Believe
if you hear the voice of God. God said we're entering an acceleration. I love that scripture that I've heard Pastor Rod use it, Amos 9:13. But in the Message Bible, God said, I'm going to move with such an acceleration. He said, I make it a decree to you. I'm going to take the sowers, and I'm going to cause an acceleration. I'm going to cause the Spirit of God to overtake them. I'm going to cause us suddenly to begin to happen. And he said it this way. I love the Message Bible. He said, I'm going to move so rapidly, over and over and over, with blessing after blessing after blessing. And the Lord said to you, when you hear this instruction, you obey this instruction, he's moving you into an area that's unrestricted
by God.
We have put together, my wife and I put together a devotional to help you to move into unrestricted territory.
Jesus.
A place where there's no more limits.
Jesus.
We have planted this book into Pastor Parsley's ministry, into Breakthrough Ministry. And he's actually going to put a forward on it, because we believe that if you take that word and digest that word day after day, and the Holy Spirit said, those who will give $1,000 We'll break the back of Satan.
I believe
we'll
it.
Break the powers of
I
darkness.
I believe it.
We'll break the poverty.
Yes.
That will break off of you every demonic spirit that is trying to attach itself to you.
I agree.
My God, I hear the Holy Ghost saying revival's coming to your house.
Believe it.
You're going to see restoration in your family.
Yes, Lord.
You're going to see your business explode.
Yes, Lord.
You're going to get promotion, saith the
promotion,
Lord, that you didn't
promotion.
Even know were coming.
Yes, Lord.
That they're going to arrest you mm-hmm. and come to you. And God said, when you feed yourself, you digest this
yes.
word. My wife and I put our face in the carpet and then wrote a word for this ministry so that you could have it, so that you could digest
yes.
it. This is the only place you can get it. Don't contact me. You can't get it. You have to get this from this ministry. And I'm asking you right now. You say, well, boy, I can't sow $1,000. Well, give the tithe off of
yeah.
it as
yeah.
seed into the rich
That's
soil.
Word.
This soil is moist.
Yes, it is.
This soil is ready.
Yes, it
when
is.
You sow into this.
Oh, dear. It's like tales from the crypt, these two people. Now, imagine. This man. Now, he says that him and his wife had their face in the carpet. And yeah, it sounds like Coy Barker, it sounds like you and your wife were sniffing that formaldehyde there in the carpet. So after you had your face in the carpet for about half an hour and you were sniffing the carpet fumes, then you wrote that book. Because he says that there's, the demonic spirits that are attacking you. The only demonic spirit that's attacking you is him and Rod. Those are the two demonic spirits that are attacking you there. And he wants you to send $1,000. Now you send $1,000, and all your dreams come true. Now, if you don't have the $1,000, you can send a tithe of the $1,000, which is $100. So then you might not get all the blessings that they were promising you, but actually the scripture I was talking about before, it's not in Ezekiel, but you notice that he quotes Amos 9:13. I went and I looked the scripture up and I laughed so hard because they took Amos 9:13 and they actually twisted it. And I think he got it from the Message Bible, which I don't like at all. I think it's a New Age version. But anyway, here's Amos 9:13 in the King James, which has a totally different meaning than what he said. And Amos 9:13 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed." Now notice that, okay? Because they're telling you to sow seed, but in Amos 9:13, it says the treader of grapes actually overcomes him that soweth seed. So it says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. So actually, the treader of grapes overtakes the person that sows the seed. And they're not talking about money. But that's how perverted these people are. That's how they twist things. And they hope and they pray that you never go to the Word of God and you never look it up yourself. That's what they're hoping. But anyway, that's it for today. And we want to make sure that the most important thing today is that you remember that just because there's preachers out there, and there are many of them, that it has nothing at all to do with Christianity and with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are the only person that's going to have to answer to God one day for your life. God's not going to ask you about Rod Parsley, and he's not going to ask you about Coy Barker. He's not going to ask you about Paula White. He's going to ask you about your life. And so we all have to give an account for our own life to God. So no matter what anybody else does, it shouldn't affect your walk with the Lord. There isn't any reason why anyone has to backslide or not want to be a Christian because of these people. the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. He gave his life for you. Nobody else did that. I don't see anybody laying down their life for me. I don't know anybody that would do that for me. No one. I don't know anybody that would go and die for me on a cross for me. Nobody. So I worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and I serve him because he loves me. He will never leave me or forsake me. He will never lie to me and hurt me, ever. And I trust him. I trusted him as my Savior many years ago, and he has never disappointed me, never. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of your sins today. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And read the book of Romans. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself and believe that he was born of a virgin and he died on the cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming again. No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what we see, God Almighty is in control of this world. Man will not destroy this world. So have faith in God today and rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Book of Life, your name is written when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we want to thank you for tuning in and coming back next week. Everybody that was in the chat room, thank you, everybody that stopped by today, and everybody that listens to this program this week. I want to thank my listening audience. We have a tremendous audience, and we're so grateful for the people that come and are blessed by our broadcast. So God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.